The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't open with a hearty congratulations to Joni and her staff and her team. I know she'll be the first to share in the accolades from being SEC Women's Basketball Coach of the Year. I think, you know, our conference speaks for itself in terms of the women's basketball coaches, and for her to be the SEC Women's Coach of the Year is pretty special. I know in our household, we've enjoyed watching them perform this year, and they've done some great things. A really exciting team to watch up and down the court, and very athletic. So congrats to Joni. The purpose of this update is about three or fourfold. I want to give you guys an opportunity to ask questions and cover us like so many of you do, and you do a great job doing it. So I want to give you that opportunity, but I want to share also some of the off-season stuff we're doing internally and team programming we've been able to do. So towards the end of this, we're going to have a couple guys share and update things going on with our team, programming from inside out. And I know Cortez is going to update with Dogs for Pups. So we'll follow Cortez up with Dell and Matt Luke also. So give you guys a chance to visit with those guys, which we don't get a lot of opportunities to do in our off season or really in season from a perspective of time wise. But a little bit that we've been doing, team programming has been really big for us this off season. We've started some skull sessions that are really 15, 20 minute sessions, small incremental things that we've been doing with our players in small groups. And small groups work a lot better. You get to not be in a huge group. Obviously COVID, the pandemic helped with small groups, but the guys have felt a greater connection, trying to define what our DNA is as a team. And we've been really intentional about that. The other thing we started doing from a team programming point of view is, you know, Dr. Courtney Gay, our assistant AD for DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, she's done a tremendous job of programming, setting the standard for our players, but also our staff in terms of having speakers come in, having meetings with our players. She's done a tremendous job. And it's a new position that was just created. And along with Matt Stafford's gift that helped us move this needle forward with a lot of the social issues we incurred in the past, in the last year, it became more relevant. And for our team, the Dogs for Pups kind of spun out of those conversations we had last summer. And Dr. Courtney Gay has done a tremendous job of keeping that relevant and allowing our players to stay relevant and communicate with them. So she's done a great job, and so have our skull sessions, and our leaders in those groups have done a tremendous job. So after we follow up with questions, I know Cortez will want to visit with you guys about some of the initiatives and some of the things that Dogs for Pups has done. So with that, I'll open it up.
All right, let's go to questions. Let's begin with Seth Emerson, and then we'll go to Chip Towers.
Kirby, I guess a O-line question. Do you know, maybe Matt can speak to this, but I wasn't sure if we're talking to him or not, where, for instance, Jamari will start out in the spring? Is he a tackle or is he a guard like he was in the Peach Bowl? Warren McClendon, is he going to stay on the right or move to the left? What can you tell us about that?
Those are things that will come up throughout spring. Like I said, we're really focused on what's in between our ears right now and not what our bench press is or what position we're going to play. Those things will play out based on what other guys can do or can't do. So Warren McClendon's development has to be at tackle because he's played tackle, right? But he played guard last year 10, 15% of his extra snaps, because you have to be able to play two positions. We've always asked him to be able to snap the ball and play center. So where they start probably will not matter as much as how they perform from a standpoint of leadership, toughness, composure, how the other guys play, what gives us the best five. So we're not really concerned with where they're starting at. Jamari obviously worked in at guard. He's got the ability to play guard. He's proven he can play tackle in the SEC at a high level. If we need him to do that, he can do it. If we need him to play inside, he'll be able to do that. But our focus really has not been on what position each guy's going to play, but more on how do we get the best out of each person. And a couple of those guys you mentioned, you know, are leaders on the team. And it's not just getting the best out of them. It's them getting the best out of everybody else. And can they hold guys accountable? You know, can they set the standard and demand the standard has kind of been our approach to the offseason.
Coach, I guess basically first, is the start of spring practice going to be March 16th? Have you set that date or announced that date yet? Exactly. And just general, you didn't get spring last year. So what's it mean to, you know, what's, does that change the objective at all or your perspective on getting these 15 practice opportunities?
No, our objective never changes when it comes to spring practice. I mean, us having spring practice last year or not doesn't control what we do this year. I mean, obviously the objective is to get each and every player better. We have, I think the other day we had a team run and I asked everybody to stand up who had not been through a spring practice at Georgia. And I'm going to venture to say it was 65% to 70% of the team stood up. And that's a scary thing. You're like, well, what does that matter? They haven't been through a spring practice. It just shows you the youth you have, the lack of practices and experiences your team has. I mean, 16 mid-years, a lot of new walk-ons. Nobody that was here last year for the first year had gone through that. So when you look at all those things, it kind of combines you to say, wow, we've got a really, really young group from that perspective. But, yeah, we plan on starting, I think it's 2 weeks from today, which would be, I think it's March 16th. Is the date that we would plan on starting spring practice and follow the model we've kind of always had. We can change that based on weather. We can change that based on a lot of different things, injuries, but that's the plan that we currently have in place.
Appreciate it.
Hey, let's go to Mike Griffith and then Mark Weiser.
Coach, you mentioned a lot of these guys that haven't been through a Georgia spring practice. JT Daniels would be one of those guys. How valuable will it be for JT and how has JT looked this offseason?
Everybody needs spring practice. Let's be honest. There's nobody on our roster. I mean, you could even say the returning fifth year guys, it's important that they get the spring practice they have, but for the quarterback position, the continuity of the offense, that's critical. You know, you want to be able to get some relationships built there. Continuity towards the end of the year, began to improve. Obviously offensively, we've got a lot of guys that are coming back, but that doesn't mean you're going to have success because they're coming back. I mean, I think the more the mantra or the message out there is you're going to be great, the tougher our job becomes internally to motivate and have guys. You know, we've had off seasons here where we had returning quarterback, returning backs, returning these guys, two great tackles, and hey, did that equate to instant success? Not necessarily. So what you do and what you earn is what you get in the offseason, and nothing's given to you. There's no entitlement, and I think JT understands that. And I think that the rapport with the receiver group for all the quarterbacks is going to be extremely important in terms of developing our offense and getting timing in the passing game.
Kirby, as you develop the players that you have this winter, I'm curious, kind of what's your approach with the transfer portal as it relates to cornerback, which would seem to be a big need for you guys?
I mean, the transfer portal hasn't changed for us. It's not, I mean, it's not the primary source of finding football players. I mean, we want to recruit, develop, and work to get the best football players we possibly can in here. I don't think the guys that come out of the portal have issues or problems. That's not just not our normal protocol. It's not what we want to build our program based around. It's a need-based deal, and we have needs. Defensive back is a spot that we're thin at. We think we have a very capable, good young players at the position. We don't have a lot of experience. So if you get an opportunity to gain experience, which – you know, we did the first year we were here. We got Mo Smith, and all of a sudden, you got a player that makes your team better almost immediately. So we would not decline the ability to look at an option there. But I don't really know what you mean when you say that, because it's like, philosophically, what are you looking for? Well, I mean, I want to coach the players we got, because that's the one thing I know that I can impact. I don't control the portal. I have no control over who goes in and who's in. So I'm focused on the players that we have, getting them better.
Hey, let's go to Anthony Dasher and then Dean Leggy.
Hello, Coach. Just wondering if you had like an update on Dominic Blaylock and Marcus Roseme about how their recovery is going from their respective injuries.
Yeah, both those young men are running straight line, beginning to increase their workload. They're not working with us in our off-season conditioning program, meaning they're not in the actual drills. They have to work separate, but they are increasing speeds. You know, Ron Corson and his staff do a tremendous job with those guys, and they're right on schedule for where they need to be. But, again, I think everything for you guys is all about ability and between and what this guy's going to do and what that guy's going to do. And I realize you're doing that for the fan base. I'm here to talk about what's between the ears matters way more than how fast they're running, what they're doing, or any of those things. Mm-hmm. And that mental side of things is the emphasis we have for this off season, because it's so much more important, the culture that's created, the programming in your organization to get the most out of your players than, you know, who's playing left corner or right corner.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Kirby, I did want to, on that same topic, how can you tell that your off-season programming is rolling over onto the field? I mean, is that an immediate thing you see? I'm sorry. Is that an immediate thing you see right away, spring practice one, or are you 15 practices into it, or is it in August?
No, it's on a continuum. I mean, it's never, you see it. You see what we see that we're getting results from the things we're committing time to. So you get what you demand, you get what you invest. So we're investing time in us. We're investing time in connection. You know what I mean? Like, connection is important. It was a very strange year for everybody in college football, where you had some kids on teams that, I mean, they had only been on Zooms their entire time and never been face to face with anybody. So the connection and the dialogue and the, you know, what is my why, what is our why, and then demanding the standard has been a big topic of conversation for us. So you ask, how do you see that you're getting the results for that? It's every day in the sprints. It's every day. Every time something adverse happens, it's holding the guys accountable. So I'm not waiting on like practice one to see the effects of the stuff we're doing. I mean, I'm seeing the fruits of the labors when more guys are coming in on their own. To the guys are saying, hey, I want to go throw. Hey, I want to go work out extra. Hey, I want to go in there on Saturday. That culture is what you have to have in order to be elite, and that's what we're always working towards.
Let's go to Jake Rowe and then Charles Odom.
Kirby, kind of a big picture question here, and it kind of feeds into that whole mindset thing. Obviously, you start every season with the goal of you know, wanting to win it all. I mean, I guess that's the ultimate goal, and getting over the hump is a big, big deal. You have high expectations of yourself. Is that something that you're, you know, are you just focused on the process of there and everything will take care of itself? Or is that something that's constantly in the back of your mind and you try to keep constantly in the players' minds that, yeah, that is the big goal and you're trying to win a championship here? Does that get preached over and over, or is it something that you just focus more on what has to happen here and now in the process?
Yeah, I don't think you have to be careful that you make things just about that. I realize the standard of excellence that's been created here and the expectation. We never shy away from those expectations, but that's not going to get the end goal. You know, the goal is to have a net sum gain, net sum gain of positive, and you're trying to constantly move people from like over here that might be on the negative side to the positive side, and then positive side, bring more guys along. And as you do that, the end goal is that you get more results, you know, that you're able to win championships. And we never shy away from that being our goal, but it's not something we have to talk about every day. Why would you talk about that every day? Because you're focusing on the wrong thing. If that's the case, you need to focus on how you're going to do that. How do we get that net sum to positive over negative? And that's by pulling everybody in the right direction. And that's our, you know, that's our goal.
We're starting to see some test results, both on state and national levels, that provide, I guess, the first signs of encouragement of improving trends on COVID. And I'm wondering what you're seeing there. Do you have reason for encouragement? And has there been any kind of communication from the SEC level on protocols that and that might change, you know, for this summer?
Not a lot of talk from the SEC. I know Ron Corson and his staff, we constantly get updates from the medical group that he's in charge of, and they do a tremendous job of staying up to date on whether it's variants, the different variants that come into the country, or it's testing methods, going from swab and nose to saliva. I mean, there's all kinds of updates for us, but not necessarily enlightening. They're not going to make a decision this far out on anything that only time will tell. But the indicators and the numbers have been positive here recently in terms of decline, and certainly it's been that way for us as well.
All right, let's go to Brandon Sudge and then Zach Klein.
Hey, Kirby, I wanted to follow up kind of on the whole diversity, inclusion, dogs for pups stuff, all those efforts that y'all are doing. I mean, I remember we talked about that with you last August, and it's still kind of in the core of what y'all are doing, a prime conversation. How big of a part of that how big of a part of your culture is that stuff, and how rewarding is it to see that kind of keep going and continue to pay off with every effort?
I give a lot of credit to our athletic department staff. Darice and Josh have both been tremendous assets for me, dating back to when Greg was here. And you know, they've gone out and gotten outside counsel from Kevin Carr, from Pro to CEO. He's the CEO there, Pro to CEO. He does a great job. And he has come in and helped build a culture of education, of programming. Like I said earlier, Dr. Courtney Gay she was an academic counselor for us, but she's kind of moved over into the assistant AD role, and she's done a tremendous job of bringing back former players. You know, our players enjoy hearing from former players. So if it's a Jonathan Ledbetter or DeAndre Walker that comes in, that immediately grabs our guys' attention and making sure the conversation stays relevant. It was brought to my attention that a great word is incrementalism. We're trying to get incrementally better this offseason in everything we do. So that includes the diversity, equity, and inclusion in that topic. You know, not to mention our mindset, which is the skull sessions we've been doing. We're trying to improve every way we can off the field. And I think the more the players buy into that and the more they know it's important to you, the harder and the better results you're going to get on the field with those guys.
Kirby, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Just wondering, with no NFL combine this year in person, have you heard more from your friends in the NFL? And I guess that line between, you know, giving your honest opinion of your players and also wanting your players to succeed in the league.
Yeah, there's no line. I mean, I really don't think there's a line, because I tell our players all the time, we're going to be honest with the NFL. You know, they're going to find out. They're going to go talk to the academic people. They're going to talk to the trainers. They're going to talk to the strength staff. We're not in the business of lying for anyone. We want to be as honest as we can and be transparent when it comes to our players. I think our players have a lot of strengths, and I think any person, any NFL evaluator that comes in to evaluate our players understands that there are no perfect players. So there's no perfect players. They have flaws. We as coaches, we have flaws. So they're trying to get the information so they can rank, you know, one guy against the other guy, and they're going to pursue that information regardless of where they go to school. And if a guy guy's not accurate and forward with them, that discredits their voice almost immediately. But I'm excited to see those guys work out. It's going to be a, you know, very different format, it seems like, in terms of those guys' pro day and being able to work out and get a chance to perform in front of these scouts. So I know it's coming rapidly, and I'm just happy that the players are going to get an opportunity to do that, because last year that group never really got that chance.
And have you heard more from your guys in the league than you normally would in mid-March?
Surprisingly, no. I would have thought it would have been that way, but I don't think they're really to that point yet. I think those conversations start coming, because right now they're still doing all their evaluations. Every now and then I get a text, hey, I'm looking at a couple of your guys, but it's not like you would think they're doing more of them. That just hasn't been the case yet, but I got a feeling it's going to ramp up here in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Thank you.
Hey, let's go to Vance Levy, and then we'll see if Mark Slabaugh has a question.
Kirby, hope things are going well. When you talk about kind of the change in DNA, do you go through like sort of a soul searching process between the end of the season and then the start? And what is the change in your DNA?
Yeah, and I don't want to say that we're changing our DNA. I think we're defining our DNA a little better. And every team has its own DNA, right? Like you're not going to have the exact same team that you had the year before. Just the personalities are different it doesn't matter whether you're talking about running and throwing the ball or whether you're talking about the makeup between the ears of your players. So that dynamic changes. And I think defining that every year is really critical. Know who you are, know your strengths and weaknesses, and be intentional about that with your players, where they can set the standard and set the demands of what it is. For me personally, yeah, every offseason I go through that. Every, you know, building to the season, it's like, okay, you can't get comfortable and say, okay, well, I'm just kind of comfortable with this. No, sometimes change is good. You know, guys we've brought in on our staff have brought new ideas, different things that we can do to get our players' attention and not just be comfortable. And we got a lot of new players too that don't know how we do things, and trying to create the standard of what they know as excellence is really important for our older players. So we're always in search of define your DNA for that season.
Kirby, I apologize if you addressed this off the top, jumped on a little late, but for a guy like JT, having not gone through the spring last year, how much more beneficial will this be? And really from an entire offensive standpoint, you know, year two of Monken without getting the spring ball last year.
Yeah, we can see the effects of that even right now in our ability to have walkthroughs and things that the NCAA allows us to do right now. It's just the pace with which they're able to do things, install things. You can imagine, you know, last year at this time, it was a whirlwind in terms of trying to figure out, okay, Monken's here. Okay, we've got this guy here, trying to install different things. It was just the pace with which we're doing walkthroughs and being able to do things offensively has been much better. If anything, you know, we're trying to adjust more on defense now to what they're doing, because they're a little bit ahead of us where we were a little bit ahead of them last year. So that's good. And in JT, obviously getting a spring to go through this. I mean, at this time last year, I don't even have a clue what he was doing. You know, was he rehabbing from a knee? You know, he's come a long way in terms of the volume of information he's gotten, and the other quarterbacks as well. I mean, you got to figure Carson Beckett just got here at this point last year, and Brock's out there and Stetson's out there. So all those guys are learning.
Thank you. We got time for two more questions before we move on. Let's go to Connor Riley and then David Pascal.
Hey, Kirby, you've talked about cornerback being a position of development before, and with young guys like Keely Ringo, Jalen Kimber, and Nylon Green sort of going through this the first time, where are they in their development, especially knowing that they're going to push for playing time at that cornerback position?
Yeah, the cornerback position is really completely open. So to name two guys is probably not the smart. I mean, we got a lot of guys that are going to be working at cornerback. Every guy on our team is a potential quarterback and cornerback right now, because we're in search of finding guys that can play that position at a high level in a really tough. And you look across the SEC, the ability to throw the ball has gotten better and better and better. And those guys get exposed. You know, we're one of the conferences that plays more man to man probably than anybody else. So you got to have guys out there that can function. So that position is, you know, up for grabs. There are no guys that are proven returning starters. And every guy is working hard to learn the techniques and the details that it takes to play winning football at that position.
Kirby, I know Dash asked you earlier about a couple of receivers on the mend. With those two on top of, I guess you've had four enter the transfer portal, do you have enough receivers this spring to do the good on good that you'd like to get done? And if that's not a concern area, or is there a concern area that you may not have enough bodies to do the good on good that you want?
No, receivers is not my concern in terms of practice reps and things. We're over our number of guys that you would have for what we call quota to have the kind of practices we have. DB is the concern there. with the guys we've had leave, the guys that came out early, and then, you know, guys coming in. We've got two receivers that came in mid-year, so that's really helped our numbers there. We've also got some guys we signed last year we think are good football players. We got a good group there. So the defensive back would be the limiting of the two spot, if anything, from a standpoint of numbers, especially when you consider Dime as 6 DB. So to go two spot, you got to have more than 12 to have backups. You know, at wideout, you're going to have 3 or 4 on the field at the most. So we feel comfortable with the wideout depth we have.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.